Welcome to the Empowerment Zone with Ramona Houston, where we zone in on Black and Brown relations and our journey to empowering our communities.
Thank you for joining the Empowerment Zone. I am your host, Ramona Houston. All of us want to have healthy, whole, affirming, and loving relationships. But the challenge is always, how do we deal with conflict when conflicts are inevitable, no matter what kind of relationship you have, whether it's with your spouse, whether it's with your sister, your mom, your dad, your friends, it's always going to be conflict. And so we've got to get beyond that conflict. And that's why I'm so excited to talk about building healthy relationships. We have as our guest this morning, Christina Tina Morales. She is an associate professional counselor and master's level marriage and family therapist. And Tina has a passion for healthy relationships and specializes in premarital and marital counseling. Tina utilizes tools such as Prepare and Enrich for Engaged Couples, the God-Man Relationship Checkup for married couples, and so much more. With extensive training in anxiety and trauma, Tina also helps couples navigate the complexities of mind, body, and emotion as a unit. Tina also founded Living in Light, LLC, which is a faith-based and clinically informed business focused on education, experience, and empowerment around relationship wellness and self-discovery. So welcome to the Empowerment Zone. I am your host, Ramona Houston, and we are excited that Tina is here today. Welcome, Tina.
Thank you so much.
So I'm so happy that you joined us today, and I'm especially excited about this topic on building healthy relationships, conflict as a key towards connection. And so could you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and how you got into counseling and and helping people with their relationships? And then let's go on and get into that topic and give us some strategies on how we can develop healthy relationships.
Of course. Well, so again, thank you so much for having me here. I think this is an amazing platform. A little bit about me. So I'm originally from Boston, Massachusetts. So I moved down to Georgia about 5 years ago now. I'm Christian and I'm Puerto Rican. And I say that because those are really important parts of my identity and kind of how I navigate the world and how I navigate counseling and relationships. So my background, originally from Boston again, came to Georgia, got into counseling. I honestly want to say it started when I was 12. So this desire to be in this field started at 12 years old when I really recognized the power of relationships and the power of human connection. Unfortunately, I learned about that power in a negative way. but I was able to recognize that if we have that power to impact another human being in a negative way, we also have that power to impact another human being in a positive way. So I just was curious. Then I was like, okay, I want to study psychology at 12 years old. I'm like, I want to study psychology. I want to know what this is all about. And took me a while, but when I went into undergrad for psychology and communication, after that, I took 4 years off. I was in the workforce. I worked for state government. And then I came back to grad school and realized, like, okay, what I was doing for state government was not necessarily my cup of tea. And so I went to study marriage and family therapy. And I just, man, the passion was there. The drive was there. Everything was intriguing to me. So I knew I was in the right place at that time.
Doesn't it feel good when you find a place that just ignites all of your passions and brings out the best in you and really brings out who you are as an individual?
Oh, for sure. You know, you're walking in your purpose when you get there. Mm-hmm. And so it was amazing. This just connected for me.
So tell us about your work in helping people to develop relationships. Can you talk about what are some of the challenges that people have in marriages? And then what are some of the strategies that you provide to help people work through those challenges?
For sure. So the number one thing, and this is why I talk about conflict. Number one thing is conflict, right? There's a lot of time we talk about, oh, the issue in relating is that we don't know how to communicate with each other. And the truth is we do. We are communicating every single day with each other, whether it's through words or through body language. The issue becomes when we don't like what we either hear or see, we have conflict. And then how do we navigate that conflict? So the biggest problem that I see is that the conflict is like, oh, this is the thing that tears people apart. And so how do we navigate this in a healthy way and recognize that conflict actually is the thing that can bring us together, because it starts to shine a light on the things that are different. And you don't want to be with someone who's the exact same as you, because those differences are strengths. And we need those strengths to be able to grow and move forward. But part of the way that I do that with couples is recognizing, okay, first of all, what is conflict, right? Conflict is, truly just a difference in opinion, in view, in perspective, very basic. Like that's all that conflict is. It's just a difference. And so how do we learn to recognize that difference, but then also understand it, where it comes from? Find some sort of place that we can connect to our partner in that difference, and then navigate that together. One of the biggest things I share with my couples is that your partner is not your enemy. The conflict is, right? The conflict and the disagreement, the thing that is different is what is the enemy. So how can you team up with your partner to then tackle this problem together? And so we do that in so many different ways. There's a lot of emotional intelligence work that I do as well to help couples recognize, like, this is an emotional, the root of most of all these things is emotional, right? So how do we start to identify emotions? How do we, have some empathy around them, have some understanding around them, and then learn how to listen with a truly reflective ear to our partner when they're describing this?
So you talked about conflict as a way to bring people together.
Yes.
That just doesn't seem correct. I understand that opposites attract. I totally understand that.
For sure.
But how do you come together as a couple through conflict?
For sure. So that's a great question. So when we think about conflict, typically we think, how do we handle it? It's either I want you to absolutely agree with me and hear my side, hear my point of view, or I don't want to address this at all. I want to walk away. So what we do is we recognize, okay, how can we listen to each other and understand where their perspective is coming from? The thing is, when we avoid conflict, we're avoiding just like fruitfulness, in its basic form. Conflict in and of itself is a thing that if we look at it, we can tend to it. And when we tend to it, we can grow it. And so that's why I say like conflict is the thing that can actually connect us, because if things are all gravy, then you don't address things that don't bring pain. Right. So pain actually forces you to change. So that's where it's all about like, okay, how do we dive into this versus run away from it?
You know, and we can extend that to, you know, life in general, right? We grow through pain, right? And most of us don't want to go through pain, but we do grow through pain.
Yes.
And so you're saying through conflict, even though we don't want to have conflict all the time, we want to minimize conflict. Through conflict, couples grow.
Yeah, for sure. And this is the thing. When I say that conflict connects us, I want to be very clear. I'm not saying look for it. I'm not telling couples, go ahead and just have a conflict today so that you can grow together. No, it's a natural process, right? Like when it comes up, we see it. And the key is when it comes up, to sit with it. Like take the time to sit with it and learn from it. What's happening here? right? Versus running away. And this, you can apply this to any aspect of life. Conflict is inevitable. That is just the truth of what it is. And so if we can learn how to navigate conflict in a healthy way and an effective manner, we can grow so much faster and farther together than kind of be stuck when conflict comes our way.
Yeah. You know, you talked about communication in conflict and the value of communication. And communication is both talking right and listening.
Yes.
And you emphasize that point.
Yes.
Speak your truth, but also listen to your companion's truth.
Yeah. That's the hardest part.
Yeah.
Is the listening. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when it comes to, and this is, again, this is the conflict piece, is because we all communicate. We know how to talk. We know how to, we speak with our body language. The hardest part is truly trying to take ourselves out of what our partner is telling us and to listen to their story, right? A lot of times we're listening with, okay, well, how does this relate to what I'm thinking, how I'm feeling, my history, my past. And so listening becomes the hardest part and the most important part of the process. I do this with couples a lot, and it is fascinating to see how the listening part becomes the struggle within the intervention itself. And so really slowing that process down to like, okay, let's reduce some of this stress. Let's figure out how to just get ourselves into a place that feels grounded so that we can hear our partner versus ready to like protect and defend ourselves.
So considering that, as you know, men are from Mars and women are from Venus. So a lot of times women, we're the ones who are the talkers, right? We can express our feelings, blah, 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 blah. But men sometimes don't express. They're not as expressive. They communicate in other ways.
Sure.
So I'm sure you've come across that challenge about helping couples to communicate with each other. And so what recommendations do you provide both men and women? Because I'm sure you've seen some common threads of personalities with women and the way the personalities of men in terms of communication.
Yeah. So that's actually a fascinating question. I love that question. So the interesting thing is I've had both. I've actually had some men who are overly communicative and women who are actually much more silent. We can go into like all the different reasons as to why I think that is and all that. But at the end of the day, when it comes down to it, when you think about it, someone who's talking a lot, we understand what are they experiencing. They have this desire to be heard. Right? So talking means I have a desire to be heard. And if we bring that all the way back, so what does that mean? What does that mean about someone who has this desire to be heard? Well, maybe there's been a time in their life when they haven't been heard. So they're used to this feeling ignored, feeling overlooked, feeling overshadowed. And so sometimes the response is, I'm going to try and make myself heard. I'm going to talk a lot so that you can hear me and understand me. I'm going to explain myself. And that's an experience that we can all have, men or women, right? Like just this experience of I've been ignored before. So when it comes down to that, at the end of the day, whenever there's someone who's maybe taking up more airspace than the other, we slow it down. And we get down to it. There's like a formula that we can use when it comes to communicating. Very basic, that says, I feel, and I also give my clients this thing called an emotion wheel. It helps us to identify what emotions are we experiencing, because there's so much more than just happy, sad, mad, scared. Mm-hmm. There's levels to them. There's different intensities to it. So I give them an emotion wheel so that they can literally pinpoint, oh, this one stands out to me. This is what I'm feeling right here. So we start with saying, I feel X, Y, or Z. Then we say, well, why? Was it something that happened? Was it something that my partner did? We make it very clear to say that it's not who my partner is. it's something that my partner has done, mm-hmm. right? So making, really differentiating between your partner's character and your partner's behaviors. So I feel emotion about what a behavior that happened, and then communicate, well, what would I like to change? What do I need? What would I like instead? And I talk about that in terms of stating a positive need. So rather than, I wish you talked less, saying, well, I wish you gave me more space so that I could talk, right? So just a slight difference between a negative need, so something, taking away something, versus a positive need, so implementing more of something. So that's kind of the formula that we try to get to.
Yeah, that's a great formula, because you're able to look, what did you call it? Some kind of wheel? What did you call it?
A feeling wheel.
Mm-hmm. The feeling wheel?
Mm-hmm.
Well, with the feeling wheel, is it appears to me that you're able to look at the complexity of emotions, right?
Yeah.
And especially when you said the intensity, you know, whether it's high or low, and actually defining the emotion and yeah. looking at whatever you want from your partner in a positive way instead of a negative, because that's the last thing you want, is when you're dealing with conflict, just saying the negative, 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 instead of, you know, saying, hey, you know, here are some solutions and this is how we can move forward together.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, just putting it all off on that one person.
For sure. What you're naming to is this, the more we talk about negative aspects of our relationship, there's this thing called negative sentiment override that ends up happening within relationships. And the more negativity comes, the more, like, there's talk about the decline in relationship satisfaction that happens. Mm-hmm. So how can we start to implement more positives within, even just within language mm-hmm. and communication? Mm-hmm. And then also in behaviors and other aspects. But yeah, we want to try to get away from the negative sentiment override and bring more positive experiences within.
Makes so much sense. So let's talk about a list of strategies you can give our audience who want to build a more loving, affirming, and healthy relationships. Can you give us a list of strategies or steps we can take until we can get to you on how we can build those relationships and be happy in our marriages?
Yeah. So let me see if I can give... I have so many that I would say. The number one thing that I want to start with is truly get some education and some knowledge around this. Buy a book when it comes to relationships. And the reason I say that is because we do not know what we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's the very basic thing. We're not going to be able to work on something that we don't even know is there. And so I would say get a book around relationships. Some of my recommendations are, The 7 Principles for Making Marriage Work. It's by John Gottman. It's a great book to just kind of get some information about what makes a healthy relationship, as well as there's exercises in there that you can practice. Right. So it's great. The other one is Getting the Love That You Want by Harville Hendricks and Helen Hunt. That one goes deeper into the unconscious and emotional aspects of relating and what it is that we're attracted to, the unspoken, unconscious expectations that we have in relationships. And it also has exercises. That one also has a workbook that goes along with it. So I just think that these are great ways to start just getting knowledge and then practical tools to move forward. Outside of that, on an everyday basis, one of the things that I share with my couples is create time for the two of you.
On a daily basis?
On a daily basis.
How would you do that? I mean, you know, excuse me for breaking up your list of strategies, but I'm really curious about that because, you know, nowadays people are doing a lot of things. We've got our work, we've got our children, we've got to take care of the home. We got all these things that both men and women are doing.
Yeah.
How do you spend time together on a daily basis, and what kind of activities would you suggest?
Yeah. Oh, I love that. So this is the thing about spending time with your partner on a daily basis. The reason why this is important, I'll just start there. Well, if we are not intentional with a thing, things will unintentionally happen.
Yep.
Right? So the reason why it's even important to create space and time for your relationship on a daily basis is because all those things that you were just describing, we got work, we got kids, we have just all the different activities that we're doing in our everyday lives. Those things are taking our focus, and those things are taking our intention, and those things are taking our awareness. And so what falls off is this relationship, which is the most important thing within a family structure.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of value and importance to put on, like, okay, my partner, my relationship here is actually really, really important to make my work function well, to make my relationship with my kids function well, to be a healthy overall individual. And so one, that's why that's even just important, right? So how to do that on a daily basis can be either a morning ritual or a morning routine where maybe you spend 5 to 10 minutes with each other drinking some coffee if you guys like coffee. Or if you guys don't have time in the morning, making space during lunchtime or making space at dinner time or even before you go to bed, right? So creating some intentional time and space for the two of you where you are intentionally connecting with each other. You can do that around a meal. You can do that around a conversation. The important thing is when you're spending this time with your partner to be talking about the relationship, not about, okay, what do we need to get done within this week? Or what do we have to do for these other priorities? This is about prioritizing the relationship, right? So how are we talking about our relationship? What's one intention that we want to have for our relationship today? What's one thing that my partner likes, or how does my partner feel loved? And how can I do maybe that one thing today? Little things like that in terms of just connecting with your partner on a daily basis are important. So important.
I love that. Yeah. You know, because most of the time, a lot of couples, we put off, well, we'll do something once a week, you know, or, and really just simple things of taking time to, like you said, have a meal together, drink coffee together, mm-hmm. discuss each other, you know, and yeah. not necessarily be about all the goals we have to accomplish in life. I really like that strategy.
Yeah.
So do we have a third strategy you would provide?
So
we can go on and on, whichever one.
I was going to say, the list goes on, but definitely getting some education around it. Having that time with each other daily could even be, hey, we're going to read this book together. I'll read it out loud to you. Mm-hmm. Practicing those exercises. So there's reading, there's spending time with each other. And then there is, what would I say would be the third that would be the most important? I know you mentioned this, the date night is important. So once a week, right? This is the idea of a date night once a week and not losing sight of that. It is ridiculously important. And showing that you value your time with your partner. And that when, and this is especially for marriage, right? So when it comes to marriage, marriage is not like we've reached the end goal. Marriage is, now we are just starting, right? So it's like, how are we going to commit to each other every single day, every single week, and be intentional about valuing each other? Because we do it during dating, right? Like, I want to make sure that you like me. I'm going to put my best foot forward. I'm going to, you know, do all the things. And now we have each other, and it's like, okay, cool. Now I can focus on the other things that I was doing. No. So it's really important to continue that focus and that intention. The intentionality is the biggest thing in any relationship. How do we stay intentional? And then how are we listening? This would be three or four, what I'm kind of skating around. Taking the time to listen to each other, really practicing that skill of listening. So hearing what your partner says they appreciate, or hearing what's important to your partner, how they receive love, what they want more of, really taking the time to listen to that and then implement it in some way.
I like that. You know, with you talking about, you know, you have to continue dating and all of those things, because you said when you get married, it just starts. But many people look at marriage as the end goal, you know, and after that you're done. And you're saying, yeah. No, marriage is not, when you, marriage is just the beginning, and you still have to work at it. I really, really like that lesson. And then the whole communication factor. Not only are you listening to your partner, but you're also implementing some of their desires, you know, if not all of them. And sometimes we feel like it stops once we hear, but we don't make any changes.
Yeah.
And obviously, couples, and individuals within those couples need to, make changes in order to really, have a healthy relationship, or else the conflict continues, because just cause you listened, but you didn't make a change, doesn't mean that there's an impact on the relationship.
Right, right. You might have heard, but you didn't listen.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is, you're saying listening is different from hearing, in that listening is change. If that's what listening is, okay?
Yeah, listening is understanding your partner's internal world, mm-hmm. and then being able to influence that internal world. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is impactful in so many different ways. Mm-hmm. We can hear all the time and we can regurgitate what our partner tells us. But if we're not doing anything differently, if we're not being more aware of how we interact with our partner based off of what we've learned, then it's kind of null and void. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's powerful in terms of needing to implement and change behavior.
I love it. I love it. So you've heard those pieces of advice, those strategies, all you couples or wannabe couples out there, education, learn about relationships and relationship management, spend time with your significant other on a daily basis, create those date nights at minimum of once a week. And also make sure you communicate effectively. And communication means listening and understanding and making the appropriate changes your partner would like you to make. So these are great pieces of advice. I really enjoyed our discussion today. And thank you so much for being a guest on the Empowerment Zone. We wish you the best in your career and your efforts to impact couples. And my daddy always stated that family is the best institution and the most important institution in the world. And so if we can keep couples together, we can create really strong families and a really strong communities and world.
Yeah. Oh, I have to, I 100% agree with that. That institution is powerful.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So thank you for coming, and we look forward to having you back.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Thank you. Hi, today we have Christina Tina Morales as our guest today, and she is here to give us a strategy for college success. Hi, Christina. Tina, would you prefer me to call you Tina or Christina?
Please call me Tina, yeah.
Tina, Tina. So what schools did you attend? What were your majors? And then what is that strategy you would have for students to make sure they're successful in college?
Yeah, so I actually went to a lot of different schools. So I still completed my undergraduate degree in 4 years, but I started my college career at Hofstra University in New York. Wanted to get away from Massachusetts, so I tried that. That was also way too expensive. So I went back to Massachusetts, went to UMass Amherst, continued my study there, did my third year at Florida International University as a domestic exchange student, and then went back to UMass Amherst for my fourth year. So I traveled a lot, studied psychology and communication. I was a double major. But one thing that I will say that I think is really powerful when it comes to college success is that when we go to college, I think the most important part is that we are getting exposure to a different world, different knowledge, different thoughts. And to be successful in that, we have to, one, be open to it. Mm-hmm. But then two, just being really intentional about like, okay, what interests me, right? So looking at, what is it called? Looking at the program and what classes you will have to take for that program, really just taking the time to look at those courses and see what's the most interesting. And also to realize you don't have to stay with what you start with. Allow yourself to be flexible and know that any knowledge that you're getting is actually going to be useful in some form or fashion. So that's what I would say.
I love that advice. Yeah. Be open, because you're going to be exposed to so many new ideas. So you have to be open to receive them, right?
Yes.
Be intentional. And that's about being aware of what your interests are so that you can pursue the major that you're really passionate about. And then actually, the last thing is be flexible. Sometimes we start majors that we're not going to finish. We ended up changing our majors based on that second advice, is our passion and being intentional about our passion. So thank you for those three strategies. I'm sure people, our listeners, will really find them valuable.
For sure, yes.
A special thank you to the incredible team of the Empowerment Zone. Terry Ungully, theme song. NADWORKS, digital support. And of course, our featured guest.
If you enjoyed my podcast, please subscribe. We are on all of your favorite podcast platforms. Be sure to rate us on Apple Podcasts too. Thank you for your continued support.